Hello, all my beautiful cinnabar monster, whatever kind of moth you want to be. Today, I'm so excited to be talking about what makes a good short story. And I think that this is really subjective, like it is with anything. So when, for me, a big red flag is when someone says that they're the expert and there's only one way to make a good anything. I think that's wrong because what's good and what's not good is a matter of taste, and what your taste is may not be my taste. So for me, I love a good portal fantasy, but I also love a good horror story. And I love a short story where nothing happens. When like people get up, they just have a normal day, everything's great and happy, and there's no rising or falling action. And that kind of goes against convention, right? When we're talking about writing stories. And even when we look at teaching people to write as little people in, kindergarten on up. In kindergarten, I really think that's when writing is most exciting and the teaching of writing is most exciting because we let kids write about a day on the playground. And that's just pure happiness for most kids. For some kids, it's not, and I'm sorry for that, and for anyone who the playground wasn't a safe space. It should be for everyone, always, everywhere, but that's not the case. There are some kids, and I was one of these kids in kindergarten. I wasn't really interested in the playground. I liked writing my own little chapter books, and I would write a 4 or 5 page sentence book and feel like I had just changed the world, like I had written the next masterpiece. And that was really fun and exciting for me. And I would then gather my family and be like, it's presentation time. Everybody sit around, pay attention to me because I have written a masterpiece. This little 4 sentence thing is going to be the next bestseller, propel us all to fame. Lights, action, camera, I'm ready for my close-up level of writing. And I think that naivete of the rules and the convention and just basically publishing as an industry creates some really great stories. And I was looking back, I didn't have the best relationship with my mother, but one of the things my mother did do that really warmed my heart is she kept everything I've ever written and gave to her. And for her birthday, my mother would always request that we make her something rather than buy her something because she felt like if something was store-bought, that was someone else's creativity, someone else's energy, and there wasn't really any love in it, is how she would describe it to us. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I've gotten some great store-bought gifts, and I've given what I think is are some great store-bought gifts. I feel like one of the best gifts I've ever given was a walk. I gave my husband a walk the first birthday that I knew him and that we were together. And it's something he had wanted for a really long time. And we still have it over 22 years later and in a pepper grinder that we still have over 22 years later. And every time I see them, it reminds me of that birthday and how just thrilled and happy he was to receive these two things he always wanted, but never got around to buying for himself, or no one ever gave him. But back to doing what makes a good short story. And I think what makes a good short story is a story you enjoy. Because I looked back at when my mother died, I got all of the things about me that she had saved because it was just clutter to my stepfather, and it was one of the things I did was cleaned out her house for him. And I said, hey, I want all of my baby stuff, and he was like, take it, I don't care. And I looked back through those books with illustrations, thank you very much, and I liked them. I still stand by them today. I enjoyed reading them. I think they're fun and interesting, and I have dyslexia, so I'm one of the few people who can actually read them. And my husband's also, Chad's also able to read them. And they just fill me with so much joy that I had this unbridled license to create. And that's what I hope this episode of The Writer's Triangle will give to all of you who are listening, is an unbridled license to create. And there are enough places out there in the world that you can publish. And you know what? I encourage people to get on Medium. If you're a writer and you have a story and it just, for whatever reason, isn't picking up steam or nobody's wanting it, start your own blog or go on Medium and publish it yourself. Put it out there for the world to see. I think in the world of writing that writers don't trust themselves anymore. And I think that is a byproduct of publishing. I think publishing teaches writers not to trust their instincts, and I want that to go away. I want writers to trust their instincts. I want writers to revel in their writing and love and enjoy their writing. And I'll be honest, there are writers that I've looked at their writing on Medium, and I'm like, this is an amazing writer. I want to reach out to them and get and ask for a piece of their writing. There's also a poet who I don't have their permission to blast them on the podcast, but there is a poet that I've been pursuing for a year that I would love a story from. And that's because I saw their writing on their website. I absolutely fell in love with it, and I felt like every single one of their poems could easily be turned into a story. We don't publish poetry, and that's why I'm hounding them for a book, or even a submission to the e-zine, short story, because I just love the way their mind works, and I just love their poetry, and I am blown away anytime anyone's work that I love is rejected. I'm like, what? Are they out of their minds to not just scoop up every last morsel of your writing? And that's exciting to me, and I want them to feel excited. So when you're thinking about holding everything back, hoping for that publication, hoping for that prestige of publication, you might actually be sabotaging yourself because presses like me, I won't see your work. Because I'll be honest, with the amount of reading that I do, my reading for fun, I do reading for reviews, I do reading for submissions, and I also do reading for fun. And reading for fun, I'm on Medium. And reading for fun, I'm on blogs and websites. So to me, what makes a good short story is one that you love, one that you enjoy. And there's a lot of talk in the industry about what a short story is. For me to publish a short story for the purpose of publication, as y'all know, if you listen to the podcast regularly, I start at the end. And when I start at the end, that means I look at page count and I look at final word count. What do I want the document I'm creating, whether it be a book or the e-zine, page count to be? And what do I want the makeup to be? And what do I want the layout to look like? So I have all of this imagery in my mind of layout, flow, consistency, readers' expectations. All of those things are going through my mind. And for me, I just really got stuck on 3,000 to 3,500 words. And I'll be honest, when I started writing short stories, the short stories I really gravitated to and really enjoyed reading were between 10 and 15 pages. And that's between 3,000 and 3,500 words. And also depends on font and spacing and all of that. But we're publishing an anthology, and I read a really amazing, and I don't have their permission to say their name, so I don't know. And I don't know why I'm so weird about that. I think I should just ask people, hey, do you care if I talk about you on the cast and if I mention you by name? But I'm working with a really talented, fabulous, short story author, and it's really exciting to me because one of the stories that they sent in for the anthology they're creating was 4 pages long. And it was an amazing story. I absolutely loved it. It had a beginning, a middle, an end. It had flow. It made sense. And even that dynamic, beginning, middle, and end, every story has to have a beginning. So every story has a beginning, and every story has an end. And the end of the story is when you stop writing. And it may be that the story leaves the reader wanting more. But with the short story, I find a good short story for me, at the end of it, I want more. For me, a good short story makes me feel greedy for the writing, where I just want more of it and I don't want it to end. There are some short stories that when I read them, I have a feeling of satisfaction. I'm just deeply satisfied with the ending, and I feel like, okay, that was a story that's finished for me. I would read a sequel of it, but I wouldn't want this story to continue. I'd want it to be something else. So do you see how I take a breath? I start with, I want a story that leaves me wanting more. And then I switch to, you know what? There are stories that I read that really had a great ending that left me satisfied. My point being is that even when we think as publishers that we know what our rules are, something can come along that's so amazing that it completely changes everything we think about writing. And that's exciting. That's exciting when you read a short story that changes your understanding of what a good short story is. And that's what's been happening to me because before getting into publishing my for myself and having my own press, I'll admit that I read a lot of the traditional writers, right? Like if you think short story, for me, the first person who pops to mind is Ray Bradbury. But Ray Bradbury's writing has a very set structure. And the same with Stephen King. They both have very set structures. And I mentioned them because they're the first two short story authors that I read a lot of when I was younger. I went on to read other fabulous authors, but I want to talk about those two because they both follow conventions for their genre. When they write a short story in a specific genre, they follow like what you would learn in a literary class is the right way, and I'm putting air quotes around that, to write a short story in terms of short story structure. But when you look at Poe on, for example, I feel like Poe gave himself permission to write whatever he wanted. And I know scholars will say that he followed classical structures, this, that, and the other. And no, he didn't. He created convention, if we really look at writing. And there aren't a lot of typical short story writers who are writing in the vein of Poe. And the reason why I mention these three really famous authors, I want to make it accessible to everyone. And I don't want to mention authors that they might not know because I'm trying to compare and contrast. If you look at these three authors and you take any short story from all three of them, because they're both undeniably, all three of them are undeniably successful, they're so different. How do you make rules? How do you make a set of rules that says this is the only way to do it? I think knowing the rules of writing for me, when I was reading them in the 6 years to make the press, when I was reading about writing and all of the rules of writing, and when I was creating the anthology and reading about the rules of short story writing, for me, I was like, huh, I don't know if I agree with all of this. And some places are so specific about anthologies that they have a paragraph count for when the action is supposed to rise. And I thought, wow, talk about wrapping a writer in chains. I don't know how a writer would write with, okay, thinking about all of these rules. Okay, I'm at paragraph XYZ. So there was one place I read that, like, by paragraph 4, the setup of the story should be done. So four paragraphs, rather, should be dedicated to backstory and setting up the characters and setting up what the action will be. And I was like, what? That doesn't feel right to me. For me, and I'm published in our anthology. I wrote 2 short stories for it because I still enjoy writing short stories, and I'm a publisher and I can. But I didn't shorten the length of the anthology. I didn't count my stories in the length so that I didn't take an author's place, because I love authors. And I wanted to give as many opportunities as I could for the anthology. So for me, when I was writing my stories, I didn't follow that rule at all. There's not four paragraphs of story background or setting up. I feel like for me, when I write a short story, you're jumping into the middle of someone's life or the middle of a scene. And that's the way I write. That's going to turn some people off. And I get that, and that's okay. Everything is not for everybody. But for me, just doing a lot of setup and backstory as a writer writing a short story doesn't feel organic. But there's another short story artist that really likes doing setup that we published, and there's a few actually in the anthology who really enjoyed writing the setup, really did a lot of dedication to backstory, and I really, really enjoyed their story. Like, there's not a single story in the anthology that I don't love. I think they're all really amazing short stories in their own right. And all of them are written so differently that there are none of them, like, if we look at the anthology as a collection, none of the short stories in the anthology follow all of the rules. They're a mix of the rules. Like, I don't think there's any that has 4 paragraphs exactly dedicated, 3 or 4 paragraphs dedicated to backstory. I think there's some with a paragraph or two, and there's some with maybe a page or two dedicated to backstory. And then there's some that have no backstory that jump right in from page 1 into the action. And there's others that have building action, and it doesn't really feel like anything's happening until, wham, like the last 3 pages, everything jumps off. I think all of those are valid. I think all of those are interesting to read. And I think the ones I haven't mentioned are the different formats and approaches to writing are interesting to read. And that's what makes a good story. So a good short story, or a good story in general. So for me, when I was putting together the anthology and I was looking at short stories, the question I asked myself is, could I defend it against a 1-star rating? And that's kind of my rubric. If this story ever gets a 1 or 2-star rating, what would my reaction be? Because as a publisher, if my reaction is, yeah, I agree with it, I shouldn't have published the story. That's me. That's my thing. So I look at what would be the worst thing someone could say about this, and why wouldn't they like it? And if I were in conversation with someone, what would I say to them about why I disagree with their opinion? Now, here's the thing. Pro tip. Authors, do not go after anyone who reviews your story and gives it a bad review. Don't ever have this conversation. This conversation is, in my mind, for me and how I survive a 1 or 2-star rating, because I love every single book we've published, and every single book we've published has gotten at least a 1-2-star rating. And I don't agree. I don't agree with the 2 stars. whenever I see it. I don't agree with it. And that's an important part for me and my emotions and managing negative reviews, is in my mind, I say, okay, I can see why this person is saying that. And it's not something, it's not a perspective I share. And I stand by this story. And I stand by this author. And I believe in this author. And I believe in this story. So for me, I don't draw authors' attention to negative reviews. I think if you're a press and you're doing that, stop it. You can't stop authors from going on Goodreads and checking out their reviews. But I would say to all of the authors of the anthology, if somebody picks out your story and gives your story in particular a negative review, I hope that you remember me saying, I love your story. I think it's fantastic. And this is for every single one of our authors in the anthology. I stand by every single one of those stories. I stand by the content notes. And I think even with the content notes, one, always read content notes before you read a story, because a lot of the lower reviews come from people that go into books blind. And that's a bad habit. Y'all need to stop that. Not wanting to know what a story is about, fine. That's all well and good. Don't read the back of the book. Judge a book by its cover. Go into it that way. Awesome. Love it. What I say is, don't go into the story without reading the content notes, because you're doing yourself and the author a disservice. Because if they follow my guidelines for what makes a good short story, and that is a story that at the end of it, you love it and you're satisfied with it, or if you're a writer that hates everything you write, you have a critique partner that loves it, or you have a press that loves it, you have at least one person saying good things about your story and about what you wrote. And if you can get that in a critique partner and a friend that will be honest and tell you when the story reads well, has good flow, has consistency, I think there is a place for inconsistent consistency with an unreliable narrator, but that has to be clear that that's what the reader's reading, and it always goes back to reader's expectations. So for me, when I'm judging a story, I ask myself, does this meet readers' expectations? And that's what everybody on the team, number one is, does this meet readers' expectations? And readers' expectations are set with the title, are set with the cover, are set with the back blurb, but they're also set with the opening paragraph and how the story is introduced. If you write an opening paragraph that is grotesque and horrible, and then the rest of the book is sunshine and light, I would say cut that first paragraph, but go ahead and write it. If that's where your process starts, go ahead and write it. If your story is going to be filled with gross things and you start with sunshine and light and rainbows and happiness, I guess with both, if you take me on a journey that gets me there, I'm here for it. But if it's just gross and shocking and then boom, sunshine and light with no transition, I'm going to recommend that you chop off the gross part, or you add a transition, either or you move it to somewhere else in the story. If it starts off with sunshine and light and then boom, it's grotesque, the same thing. I'm going to say, give me a transition that gets me there. Move it to a different place in the story, or take it off. And that's the kind of critique partner that you need. You don't need one who's going to go over your grammar, who's going to go over your spelling and all of that, because in my mind, that's the job of an editor. And the editor's job is not to read your story and like it or dislike it. The editor's job is to look at the grammar, the flow, and the consistency if you're doing a literary edit. And that's what our editors look at. They look at, does it flow? Is it consistent? And is this grammar correct? And that's the only three things they're looking at. They're not reading the book for enjoyment. Sometimes the book is so good, a lot of times, most of the time, they enjoy the book. And so they've asked for a longer time. I was like, get this back to me in 5 days. And like, can I have 10? Because I'm wanting to read it. And so now we've readjusted it to 10, which is kind of industry standard. And that was what happened with the anthology. The editor was like, hey, these stories are really good. I want to read them. And I was like, that's awesome. That makes me feel good and makes me feel like, okay, other people are going to feel the same way. So the long and short of it, I guess the long-windedness of it is find someone you trust who you think has a good mind for literature, but who is also kind and generous, but not so kind and generous that they will lie to you to save your feelings. Because a critique partner, for me, the first time a story is critiqued, it should be, does this story make sense? And does this story meet your expectations as a reader? Does the beginning of the story give you a sense of where the story is going in terms of, is it consistent? Does the dialogue flow? Does one scene flow into the next? Does the story feel seamless? Or does the story feel deliberately tattered? Does the story feel purposeful? Does it feel intentioned? And for me, I'm really lucky that all the stories we're getting, they all feel intentional, but they may lack in one area, like world building or some other area. And those short stories, we didn't have time to send back and ask for rewrites. But I do include it in any time I say yes or no to a story. I say why I'm saying yes, but I also say why I'm saying no. And for me, the number one thing will be if my expectations weren't met, if the story didn't feel purposeful, or if the story didn't meet the submission guidelines. When you're submitting, and this is different than what makes a good short story, this is how to get a short story accepted. Make sure you read the guidelines. Please do yourself, do your publisher, do everyone a favor, and make sure you read the guidelines. If the guideline says that the story has to include a magical tattoo, it has to include a magical tattoo. If a story says that it has to be set in winter, you can't send me a story talking about spring. You just can't. There were a few stories, and I won't say which, that went on and on and on about spring for the winter anthology. And I will say I loved the story so much that they got away with it, and I asked for a rewrite. There were a few authors that the story was just so good that I did send it back for a rewrite. But that's a rare thing. That's really rare. And I'm finding with the anthology, when the short stories come in, I'm like, does it meet the theme? Is the first thing I'm checking. And I take the short story in whatever way it's given to me. I put it in a searchable format. I control F the word tattoo for the magical tattoo stories that are coming out in the January edition of the e-zine. And if it didn't have the word tattoo, I just didn't read it. Because if it doesn't have the word tattoo, it doesn't include a magical tattoo. That may seem unfair, but I feel like it's unfair to me to have to read 3,000 or 3,500 words that aren't on theme when asking to read the guidelines. And I think every publisher feels that way. At least all of the publishers I talk with, it kind of, they want everyone to read the guidelines. But for me, I'll be honest and say it hurts my feelings a little bit. Like, I spent all of this time and effort writing the guidelines to help authors be successful. and you don't care. And that makes me feel like you're not going to care about the publishing process, and you're not going to care about where you fit in with the other stories. And I like caring authors. I like authors that are going to caretake me as I caretake them. And the first way you caretake a publisher is by reading their guidelines. So a good short story in the general sense is a story you like, and if you hate everything you write, is a story that meets at least one reader's expectations. For a publication, a good short story is one that follows the guidelines for whatever you're submitting for. I hope that this was insightful, and I hope that this takes off some of your shackles and some of your chains. If you're an author that's been shackled or chained by what you've read on the internet about what makes a good short story, have fun. Write stories you like. Write stories you want to write. Write the stories that you want out in the world. Write the stories that you want people to read. And somebody will read them. And if no publication wants them, put them on a blog. Start an author's page and put them on your blog, because I read blogs. And you never know. A publisher might come across your blog and reach out and invite you to write something for them with guaranteed submissions. I know I do that. Put it on Medium. I'm a huge Medium fan. And I read a lot of the works on Medium and have become fans of a lot of authors that way. Put yourself out there and don't let publishing make all of the rules for what you put out there. I hope that makes sense, and I hope that is a cheerful, positive message. I want to thank all the beautiful cinnabar moths, or any kind of moth you want to be, or like I say at the end of every podcast, you can also be a butterfly, but I'm not Mariah Carey and I'm not stealing her rhyme. Thank you for tuning in this week, and I will talk to you in 2 weeks. Bye. Bye. Bye.